of reverence, but we're going to do that. Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to get over there. We'll start there. You know, as today's world is just fantastically, dramatically different than anything. I was talking with an older lady this week, and just in my lifetime, I've obviously never seen nothing, and she's never seen anything like what we're going through. And so this is uncharted territory, this pandemic hysteria, the economic contraction of what we're dealing with, social isolation. That's just something that's just really hard, creating an emotional roller coaster for so many people out there. You have the uses of alcohol and drugs and tobacco, pornography skyrocketing beyond understanding, while churches, big and small, churches, even home worship groups, small groups, have been turned way down. You know, I'm blessed by Pastor John MacArthur. I might differ in some of his theology, but he believes the same as I do on the major, so we can stand together in most of what's going on. And over in California, if you don't know, they've banned all church gatherings. And having to deal with this, there are some people doing online stuff and all that. Well, Pastor John MacArthur, thank God for a man of God to willing to step it up. He said, that's enough. That is enough. Knowing God has commanded me and my church to meet in attendance on a regular basis, he quotes Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. Can we give just a clap of praise and support for somebody willing to stand up and say that's enough? And I hope this is the beginning of maybe a little bit of pushback to what is turning out to be a great attack on the things of God and on just being human. We take it for granted here in the United States. But our inalienable rights that were given by the founders of this country were based on what God has said who you are as a human being. I can't dictate something different. Now, while it may look like to us humans that all of this turmoil is merely a result of some disease spreading or some social injustice creating a pandemonium, really there's much more than meets the eyes. Let's stand. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, if you are able to stand. Just a short verses here, Ephesians 6. I'm going to read 10 through 13, if you want to follow along. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Everybody say, oh, wait, I thought Jesus took care of all that. Something's going on here. All right, 13 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Twice in this passage you see the whole armor of God. You can go on. I'm not teaching on the whole armor of God here, but you'll see it. And so twice, anytime scripture says something twice, what he's saying is, listen, listen, this is really, really a big deal. And as we see the big deal here, therefore take up the whole armor of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day 2020, and having done all, to stand. Here we are standing. Amen. Why don't you just give everybody a wave and a shout? If you didn't see someone wave in, say hello, hello, welcome, welcome. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Father God, as we do take a seat and rest in your presence, as you are just beautiful in who you are to us, and that is because of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be reconciled and have a relationship with Almighty God, our Creator. I praise you for that. It is well with my soul, but not because of me, it's because of Jesus. The mercy of God given to the world. So thank you for this time. Thank you for your word and your revelation. And may it just be a blessing to us. I ask protection over the words to go forth, that they're your words and the ears are receiving your message here from your glorious revelation of who you are. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, you know, for Christians who actually practice their faith, kind of like, you know, there are Christians who don't practice their faith. And some of those may not be Christians. You know, just it said, Keith Green, anybody know Keith Green? Oh, you guys got to go find him. He's from the 70s. Anyways, I'm not going to get into him. But Keith Green said, and I love this, that just because you go to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. And just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. So not all people sitting around you may be a Christian. Now, I don't want you going judging. Chill out there. And it's not for you to worry about that. Maybe you challenge your lover of God to, are you really loving God? The people you know. But really, the understanding of this whole idea of practicing your faith has some things that we do that Paul and Peter and Jesus and all these people in the New Testament teach us. And in one of those, we have prayer. Prayer is essential. It's an essential way of communicating with God. By the way, we have prayer at 6 p.m. Sunday here. You who haven't been showing up, you need to show up. I am blessed, though. We do always have a group of people showing up. It is a blessing, and we do pray over the needs of the church and over this church ministry and the community and the souls. And God responds to our prayers. And we respond to his answers. It's a two-way street, but it's not uncommon to be talking to God and feel like, is he listening to me? Does he hear what I'm really sharing with? Now, I know some prayers are self-serving. Hey, God, can you float me an extra million here? I could use it. I'll be a good steward. I'll tithe on it. And you check, and there's no $1 million. Not self-serving prayers that we talk with God. No, he is so good to talk with us in just a loving way. But I'm talking about real prayers. I'm talking about prayers like, God, save my loved one. God, heal my spouse. God, can you restore this relationship, please? Crying out to God, but as of yet, I'm not hearing any answers come to pass. And so I wonder, is he listening? Is he really hearing me? And you begin to feel, really, am I spiritual enough? It's not just my thoughts. I really begin to feel something like I don't know if I have enough faith. And God forbid somebody comes along and tells you, I wonder if you have enough faith. Don't do that to people. Why isn't God listening to me? Is he too busy? You start saying these things that don't even make sense of who God is. It doesn't really line up with Scripture. Why, God, aren't you answering my certain prayers? And I'm going to give you something that may enlighten you and encourage you. And maybe you've never heard this before. If you're on Ephesians 6, I'm not really, this is all over the place. It's a topical sermon, so I'm going to be different places. Head over to Daniel chapter 10. This is really fascinating and a blessing of a truth in God's word that I hope will encourage you in some of those darker times. Daniel chapter 10, as we find Daniel receiving a vision from God on the future of his nation, is deep into fasting and prayer. It's where we get the idea of the 21-day Daniel fast. And he's, for 3 weeks, in prayer over this revelation. He's got some understanding, but he's praying for more. And he's struggling, and he's really mourning. And there's a lot of words in there that really show an amazing struggle of this beloved man of God. And soon, as he's dealing with this on the 24th day of the month, which would be Nisan, and it would be the time of the Passover, unleavened bread, that spring feast time, an angel shows up. Some may say it's a pre-incarnate Christ. I have a problem with that because this angel needed help, and Jesus doesn't need any help. At least an angel. We'll go from there. Shows up, and he's glorious in his appearance, and he comes, and he's saying something to Daniel that is amazing. For 3 weeks, Daniel is fasting and praying, and he finally has someone show up in his life. And look at chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 12. Then he said to me, the angel to Daniel, "Do not fear, Daniel, For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Those are prayers. 13 says, but the prince, this is why so long? What's the deal? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, he's an archangel, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. The kings of Persia were spiritual forces, as we read in chapter 6 of Ephesians. These principalities that these angels were battling while Daniel was lifting up the prayer, and they couldn't come to him because these demons had gotten in the way. You see, loved ones, God may often answer your prayer with a yes immediately, but the warfare that happens to get in the way of your answer may delay it for a time. Do you see that there? Does that help you who's been praying for that child or that healing or that financial need? You see, often we have a lot of oak trees in our on our property. So in the summer days, we have all these strings coming down. And you know what's at the end of those strings? Those little cocoons, right? And the little cocoons hanging off all the trees and kind of sticking on the sides. And my kids are like, hey, what's all this? And they look and add the little worm in there. And a little worm's going to turn into a little, you know, butterfly or a moth or something. But what that cocoon is for that animal, that worm, is a protection. It's essential for it to get to its destiny of becoming that moth or that butterfly. And unlike that worm who lives in that cocoon protected, we do not live in a spiritual cocoon, loved ones. Did you sign up for that? Do you understand that? We don't live without opposition. And the opposition that we read here, and for most of the time, I would have to assume, because I don't always get immediate prayers, although we did get one today, right, Bertha? I love those. Immediate! Like, I pray for this, and boom, there it is. Awesome, praise God. But most of the time, we often labor in prayer. And is this maybe refreshing to see the answer was already given? The answer was already given to you, and the angels were dispatched into the spiritual realm, and the fight began to get your answer from there to you. Wow. See, the problem is we give up too soon. If we give up on that prayer, on that need that we're giving to the Lord, and we're giving up on too soon, what's too soon, Pastor? Do I have to wait 21 days? Maybe. 10 days, 21 days, 10 months, 10 years. Until you get an answer or no longer is it available to be answered, that's when you can stop. Amen? Is that a good enough answer? Amen? Anybody been laboring for a prayer for a little longer than 10 months, 10 years? Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God, through us. Through us. Yes, and amen. Amen, it says, so be it. Let it happen. And God promised that when you turn to him in Jesus Christ by faith, he's going to save you. So many promises of God. I'm praying in the promises of God. I'm praying in the will of God. He said he saved me. He did. He said, when you are a follower, I'm going to equip you. I can't do this, God. I don't know how you want me to do this. I can't handle this. I'll equip you. All right. He promises that when you walk with him, he will be with you. Jesus, are you around? I don't know. You don't feel like you're here. I'm here. I'm here. I promised you. He promises to use you. He promises to bless you. He promises to heal you. He promises to provide with you for you. So many promises, and it may sound too good to be true. Please ask somebody who's been walking with Jesus for a little while and ask them if it's true or not. Amen. It's true. It's true. Prayer reflects this understanding. In him, it's yes. In him, it's amen. But we don't realize that that very prayer, that life of prayer, engages us in an invisible battle in which God uses us, through him, through us, to win battles and fights in the spiritual realm. Remember in 6 of Ephesians, the principalities? What's that? Demonic powers, demonic rulers of darkness, demonic spiritual hosts of wickedness, demonic angels and demons are fighting and for human souls nonetheless, and he's going to use me? You want to use little old me to do this? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's like I thought of David. David, young boy at the time. He's sitting at home and his dad says, hey, go bring him some ho-hos and some ding-dongs and get them fed. And he's going to go to the battlefield. They're battling with the Philistines, the Israel. And the Philistines are battling. Big boy war. Take the kid out there and get him some food. And he goes and he finds Israel shaking in their armor because the Philistines are thumping war at them. David's like, what's up with this? And he says, there's a big guy over there. His name is Goliath. He's a giant. We don't know if you want to go over there and fight him. They said, if he comes and fights, then we'll be his slave if he wins. If we win, they're our slaves. David's like, what's up? Why aren't you going? Get over there and get that guy. And he says, I'll go get him. And they're all like, oh, no, you don't want to do that, David. But David knew who his God was. He knew the promises of God, and he is going to be victorious, even if he's got to use a little boy. And according to Ephesians 6:12, our giants are not in the flesh. You don't see them. They're not what we perceive the problems to be. The problems are in the spiritual realm. So we have to understand that we don't take what we know how to fight into battles, weapons of physical guns and knives and batons, and go and try to fight the spiritual battle. It's God who has to teach us how to fight in the spiritual realm. Psalm 18:34. Put that on the screen and just look at that as David is crying out to God. He's bringing it up. I'll tell you what it says. He teaches me to make war. Psalm 18:34. Wow, David, but you were a warrior. You were out there, in the battle. He wasn't talking about his physical battles, nonetheless. He may have understood it through that. He was talking about his spiritual battles. You teach my hands to make war. Does that sound like a defense or an offense? Amen. It's an offense. He's not teaching us to defend his territory, loved one. He did not put you on earth to defend some little circle and make it okay from the wiles of the devil. Stay away from here, devil. He put you on earth to advance the kingdom of God, and he has equipped you to do that battle. To move forward in righteousness, to move forward in peace, to move forward in the joy of the Lord, and to take territory away from darkness everywhere you go. God says, I'm not teaching you to defend, I'm teaching you to make war. Everybody say, war! Let's do it one more time. War! That's what he's teaching. That was good. Everybody's good. I like that. So we need to know how to be victorious, not so much in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm. And here's going to be a few things. Turn over your bulletin if you take notes and write this down. Know what you're fighting for. Know what you're fighting for. What the deal is in this fight. Satan is a thief, he is a murderer, and he is a destroyer. He has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But what you might think he is stealing from you may not be what he's really stealing from you. Much of the time we tend to focus on our situation and our circumstances. We think small. But I believe that God wants us to be prosperous and healed and influential. But all too often we focus on the things that the enemy isn't trying to keep from you. He doesn't really have any interest if you're broke or not. Doesn't care. I remember when Satan took Jesus up to the Pinnacle Mount. He said, I'll give you all of this. Be as rich as you can be. Some of you thinking later on, what did he ask for? When Job was afflicted with boils, did he want Job's health? Nope. Didn't care about Job's health. Be healthy, be unhealthy. I don't really care. Health and wealth and happy families, they're not what the enemy really wants to destroy. They're just tools to get to the real heart of the battle. Here it is, loved ones. Take away today this, what Satan is really trying to get a hold of in this battle. It's all about your worship. Come on now, that's good. It's all about your worship, loved ones. Satan's main concern is not about your life circumstances. Have lots of money, have no money. Have the health, have the sickness. What Satan's understanding of his bullseye is to create distance and eventual separation from you and God. Man. He'll do whatever he can. He'll break you. He'll make you give up. And if that merely means sending you the wrong spouse, he'll do it. Be happy with her. Be happy with him. Take it. Bye. And off you go. Have the business. Prosper the business. You'll never want to worship God again because you're working on your business. Curse God because I took everything away from you. You're sitting in a hotel room. You have no health. You're going to curse God now. That's what I've been doing. Do it all the time. He's not after your marriage or your family or your health. Or your finances. He's after your faith. He's after your faith, your relationship with God. If the marriage breaks up, what we say? Man, the devil got in there. Gosh, man, we really try, and the devil was really, he made us divorce. No, he was not worried about the divorce. He wants the children. Because he knows if he gets you apart, chances are, I have a better opportunity at the children. And if you can't get it apart through that battle, he'll find some other way. Understanding what the battle is all about prepares us when the enemy comes into life like a flood and we get caught off guard. It's time to be prepared, loved ones. We're going up against a raging battle right now. We don't even realize what we're up against. Things are changing, and getting caught off guard is going to be the prime motivator for us to fall in the first problem of self-despair. He brings that part. It becomes concentrated on myself. Why me, God? I don't deserve this. Don't you know that I've been faithfully walking with you for umpteen years? Why are you letting this in on my life? That begins to what Job had to deal with. If you read into him, he was like, I'm good. And God dealt with that spiritual pride, Job. That is spiritual pride. You are not the source of your spirituality. God is. Might be news, but it's true. Pride will always precede a fall. It's sneaky, and God wants to pour out his blessings, yes, but he wants you to walk in humility and surrender and maturity in him. It's called your sanctification. Satan thinks he's going to get the upper hand on you. God's allowing me to do this, just like he did with Job. He's just allowing me to take this away, get rid of that, and bring this upon you. You're going to curse him to his face, as his wife said. But catch this. What's really happening? God is using Satan to humble you so that he can bless you and others and mature you as a faithful lover of Jesus Christ. Satan never gets in a sleight of hand on God. He has to sign off on everything that creep does and his minions. So you be understanding, he's still with you. He's going to give you the power and the grace to get through it. This life is full of sin. Whenever I speak about spiritual warfare, I don't want to have everything blamed on Satan either. Remember, we have a flesh on us that creates a lot of problems. So you need to discern a little bit about where Satan's coming in, where it's just my sin. I want to give that as an understanding. And so when the test results come and they're positive and the divorce papers are received on the table, you don't overreact. You don't fall into despair. You know to step back and lower yourself in humility. And Psalm 91, 1 and 2 says, I shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. You do what Job did in 13:15 of Job. Though you slay me, that's of God, I will trust you. I will trust you. He goes on in chapter 19, verse 25, I know my Redeemer lives. I know He does. You serve a resurrected King. And when we identify the enemy's desire to steal our worship, the number one reaction in all of our circumstances, good and bad, is to worship. Worship. It's the key, loved ones. It's the key. You run to God first. You praise God with all your heart first. Lord, I know He's trying to get me to curse You, to leave You. I'm not doing it. I worship You. It's amazing that during some of the worst times of people's lives, out the door they run from their local body, their church. I can't take this anymore. It's God doing this to me. No, it's not. It's not God doing it to you. And off they run. The times they need the body of Christ the most, off they run. And they also run off when everything's going really well. Boy, everything's doing great. I'm going to go fishing. Got me a new boat. You know, when you buy a boat, you actually got to use it. And when what days do you use your boats? Saturday and Sundays. Be careful of those new boats in your life. Oh, I don't need God. He's blessing me. And I'm just going to praise Him in the sun. And pretty soon, what does that sign say out there? Whenever you're missing church, you won't be missing church much pretty soon. It's our human nature. I don't need it. I don't care about it. I'm doing great. Philippians 4:11 says this, though, Paul, who has learned to be content no matter his circumstances, whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content. Why? I was talking with some kids over the week of the church, and I heard a couple times their favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. That's why. They told me Philippians 4:13. You know it? Put it up there. There it is. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why. Whether I'm blessed, whether I'm under a problem, whatever it is, I'm going to praise Him because He gives me the strength to do whatever I am able to do. Know what you're fighting for, loved ones. Next thing you want to know is your enemy. Know your enemy. It's not just this Satan, man. He's got minions. Many, third of the heavens were released of angels because of their disobedience. Who knows how many multitudes He has working under Him. And our American culture has fabricated this kind of have fun devil. He rings your doorbell at the end of October, says trick or treat. We give him candy. We don't realize what's behind all of that. We don't see what's behind all of that. See, the truth is, he's rarely that obvious in your life. Maybe in our culture, but not, you see, you go to Haiti, you go to Africa, you go to Central America, and you'll see the satanic realm revealed. Because they work in a spiritism affront. The voodoo and all that goes on. So the devil manifests himself more often there and who he is. But not here. Not so much. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. I thought that was who I was supposed to marry. I thought that was what I was supposed to choose in my business. I thought that was how I was supposed to react to my boss. So we tend to focus on that boss who hates us. We tend to look at, oh, I've had some bad luck. But we have to correctly identify our enemy. It's not your boss. It's not a run of bad luck. Let me help you see behind the curtain of who he is. First, he's a liar. If Satan's talking, he's lying. If you're hearing something that's not of God, it's Satan, it's a lie. John 8:44 says he is the father of lies. The truth is not in him, so the only thing he can do is twist the truth and give it to you. Here you go. Did God really say you won't really die? Brings uncertainty. We listen. We bring confusion. We have now this disorder and this division happening. And we don't know why. And the only way to defeat lies is the way we understand how to do money, or we understand how to do like an automobile to certify it, is to know the real deal. You know the real deal, you'll see the counterfeit a million miles away. There will always be a new counterfeit. I can't sit there and figure it all out. But if I know the real one, I will always know the counterfeit. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know Jesus, and you will recognize Satan. So he's a liar. Next, he's also controlling. He's controlling. How often in Christianity we hear, oh, it's all a bunch of don't do this and don't do that. Oh, no drinking. Oh, no drugging. No sex outside of marriage. Sex is good inside of marriage, by the way. No cursing people out. No fun at all. Like, that's the only way to have fun. You never know these days, you think that's true. Who here has battled anger? You don't have to answer that. Who here has battled anger? Who here has battled lust of another person or a thing? Who here, this is a good one, who's battled stubbornness? Ooh, I thought that was just an asset to my personality. So you practice, you partake in the acting out of these things, and it's like caffeine, right? You take it down, and oh man, did that feel good. Let's go get the world. But what happens about an hour after that caffeine starts to leave? Oh. And sin is no caffeine, loved one. It's an awful tragedy. So in life, circumstances appear to have people in school and in your job and in your family and your social circles and even in your memories controlling you. It's not those things we're dealing with. It's with the demonic influences behind to get your worship. You fall into the control of the sin before you control the sin. Repent of that. Turn away from it. So he's lying, he's controlling. Also, here's a good one, you have to know this, he's defeated. This is where we have the power over everything he does in Christ. He is defeated in your life. And when you engage him by reacting the way he goads you, and you go into sin, he will always bring you down. Because the defeated will always lead you into defeat. So when you engage him in sexual sins, pornography and fornication and homosexuality, you link your game plan to a defeated leader. And you can't get away from it because he's got those chains. Do you know the chain breaker? Let me hear his name. Who's the chain breaker? Jesus is the chain breaker. He comes in and he frees you. Abundant life is given to him, but in the world says is good, your abundant life is strangled. And there is a place that I don't want us to become good at, and that's juggling sin and loving Jesus. I don't want anyone here to be good at that. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. Loved ones, this church is a place of safety. This church is a place of reality of who Jesus is and who we are. There's no masks needed here. There is no coming in to try to impress me. I've got my own problems I deal with. Man, I pray for you, but I pray for me too, please. We need Jesus. He is the only one getting adored here, and he's the only one that is going to be worshipped, and Satan is not allowed in here to steal any of us sheepies worship. So when you feel defeated and hopeless, good chance you're under attack. Know your enemy. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Disclaimer, if you've been involved in sin and have no conviction of its destruction in your life, you've bought a lie. Don't let that problem of, I don't like what I'm doing, go away. That's the Holy Spirit saying, stop it. Stop it. Romans 6:2 says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We can't do that. Be careful not to blame the devil for sin that is practiced. But if you're feeling defeated and hopeless in you, and you're giving to God all you know, good chance you're being under attack. Repent from sin. Don't listen to the defeated and walk in the life that is in Jesus Christ. So know who you're fighting for. Know your enemy. Here's the last one. Hopefully I'll get you through quickly. Take up your weapons. This is the best part. This is the best part for you all. You're going to take this home and this week you're going to walk in this. You see, we've heard all the demonic and what they fight with us. And it really could be a bit overwhelming. Man, I start reading on those scriptures of spiritual warfare and I'm like, man. But he doesn't have that kind of power that we think he has. So you need to know that you are not helpless, you're not a victim, but God has given you weapons so you can be victorious as a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're not going to find these weapons at Cabela's, or Bass Pro Shop, or some gun show. Those aren't the weapons I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Talked about that a few weeks ago. Pulling down strongholds. You have the weapons for dealing with addictions and controlling people and getting up out of dark emotions and correcting disobedience. You have the weapons. I don't know where they're at, Pastor. Where do I find these? It's not so much finding them because you were given them when you believed Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It's using them. God has given you the Holy Spirit. And so the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Here's one weapon. I could go through the shield of faith and the sword. I can go through all that, but I'm not going there. That's a good one. Ephesians 6, read it. You'll hear your defense and one offensive weapon. I'll read a little bit about that. But one weapon, it's your words, it's your mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak is going to be often what you experience. There is a response to your words in the spiritual realm. You release that and the spiritual realm is listening. And hopefully they're going towards God. Don't glorify Satan in your words. Remember, when you say, I am, that's God's very name. Be careful what you follow that with. I am sick. I am depressed. I am victorious. I am saved. I am going to overcome this. The I am says you will. Best thing you can do is be slow to speak. Words of life bring life. Words of death bring death. Speak that which you know is true and what you want to see come to pass. And this isn't one of those motivational speeches either. Don't be speaking what you just feel all the time. God's good at listening to that, but be careful falling into that being your lead. Speak on your faith, not on your fears. Especially in this time. So we have words. There's another weapon. We have prayers. Remember Daniel in chapter 10. God not only hears and responds to his prayer, but he dispatches angels to carry out the battle to get him the response. Now, it's not uncommon for me to fail in my words or to fail in my prayers. So what do I do now? Because those are kind of in me. I don't want to have to rely on me. Some more weapons for you. God's word, loved ones. When I start realizing I'm failing and I might not be reading God's word, I know why I'm failing. I get back into God's word and I start reading these promises. And I start seeing who Jesus is. And I start seeing who the God of Israel said he is to be to them and to those who believe in the Messiah. And then the last thing for you, this is what we did today. My worship. My worship. And when I correct my path by God's word and I submit my will to Him by worshiping, I will always have a healthy attitude and I will always be bringing life and speaking life. Psalm 22:3 says the Lord is enthroned on our praises of His people, of Israel and His church. He's there. So when you're in that hospital room, praying for a loved one, and the prayer goes out, God, bring healing to him. God responds with a focus on that healing. But when you go on your face in that hospital room, and you say, God Almighty, I worship you and ask you to come into this room, His focus becomes the response of who He is and being in presence with you. Can someone give an amen? It's not just the healing that shows up. It's the healer. Wow. You don't fight for the money. You don't fight for the relationships. You don't fight for the health. You're fighting for your closeness to God, because in Him you will have all that you need and more for the situation. It is a complete game changer. I get an agreement. Amen. Why don't we close our eyes as we take a moment? What I want to do here, no music, but let your heart be really taking in what was just said. It's His presence that will change everything in my life. And it's my worship that invites that very presence at that time. Can we practice that right now? I don't want to be weird, and if you're uncomfortable, that's fine. But at least can we stand? Why do we clap? Because God says, give a clap of praise. Why do we raise our hands? Because He says, give your hands up to Him. Why do we dance? Why do we do these things? The Bible says that's all praise. For those who are more vocal, I want to hear you and encourage those who may be a little less vocal. But I just want us to praise right now. Give glory to Him. God, Father, You are the mountain mover. Give Him the praise right now. Everybody giving Him the praise and worship. God, I invite You into each person's situation. Yes, so much the individual need, but You being the individual who is the need meter. God, we worship You. God, we invite You to be our very presence in all the week that we are, in every place that we are. Lord, we give You the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. If you feel like coming to the front, come to the front. God, we praise You for salvation. Lord, we praise You for the one who heals relationships. God, we praise You for bringing forth the healing that we need, both physically and spiritually. Strengthen us in our weakness, Lord. Break the chains of addiction in this room, God. We worship You. We praise You. And we're going to take this praise into our lives today. And we're going to walk in Your presence today. And when we come up against the enemy, we're going to praise You and worship You through that, and believing You will get us through because You're our deliverer. To You be the glory. To You be all the praise. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Good to see you all. You all have a great week in the Lord. To you, enjoy His presence, and to God be the glory. Yes, we have some food. Please join us, for